right now, not in Kazakhstan, in Washington. Might as well be the same. Emily Wilkins joins us on what's going on with our politics and how it relates into all of us. Emily, I think the major, major thrust here is to define the center of the nation and the center of Washington. Are people in the center proud to be in the center in Washington?
I mean, proud is an interesting word to use. I feel like, and I mind you, like I spend most of my days talking to lawmakers, right? And so a lot of the lawmakers who are in the center, it's not that they don't personally believe what they are saying. I think, you know, to a certain degree, that's absolutely true. But they're also coming from swing districts. They're coming from districts where you need to be in the center if you want to keep that seat, because you're going to need to get support from the opposite party as well as your own party. And so I think a little bit is born out of, you know, necessity when it comes to the center in D.C. But this is the time where the center in D.C. is the most powerful, because Republicans know that if they want to take the House, if they want to take the Senate, they're going to have to appeal to those in the center. I mean, look at President Joe Biden's budget he just put out. That was supposed to appeal to the moderates, to the fiscal conservatives within the Democratic Party, and provide some cover to those more moderate lawmakers who are going to go back and have to face voters for these midterms.
All right, Emily, it's been more than a year since January 6th. I can read the calendar. What's going on with the investigation? Why aren't there more high-profile news coming out of this? I mean, we got a couple of these folks that stormed the Capitol. Yes, they were tried and convicted or whatever, and that's been adjudicated. But it just seems like there needs to be so much more. Why is it taking so long?
Well, remember, too, it's not like the day after January 6th, everyone's like, all right, let's, you know, we've agreed on a commission to look into this, and here we go. There was a lot of back and forth, a lot of politics that were played. It took them a while to actually get to the point where they said these are the lawmakers who are going to be doing this investigation. And they have been doing a lot of work behind the scenes. I mean, they've done more than 800 interviews. You've seen them kind of battle it out with some of these more high-profile individuals over whether or not they need to testify, taking that to the courts. And I think what you are starting to see is the committee's work starting to become public. I think obviously we're going to be seeing more to come as the committee reveals more and more things. But certainly the news that broke this week, that there is a huge gap in the call logs that former President Trump had during the riots. I think that raises a lot of questions, because we know he made calls. We have people on the record saying they talked to him during that time. So where are those calls? Where's the phone he used? And why weren't those records with everything else?
Well, I hate to bring this up, but is the public engaged on this debate? I mean, I read the Washington Post, and except for the war in Ukraine, it's front and center. I mean, it's a huge, huge coverage effort by them, and I'm sure it's a big focus inside the Beltway. Is America engaged on these discussions and heated debates?
I mean, I think we can safely assume that for a lot of Americans, January 6th is not the top issue. When Republicans actually just had their retreat down in Florida, they were showing some polling, and they were showing, like, you know, the big issues for Americans, and January 6th riots were way down at the bottom. So I don't think this is something that, you know, the average American is, you know, breathlessly following day after day after day. I do think, though, that lawmakers see this as a potential threat to democracy. And even though it's not something that's going to, you know, move your average voter, it's something they feel like they have an obligation to really look into.
And Paul, what's important here is very high up on Republican and Democrat things that matter is Duke, North Carolina.
Exactly.
This weekend, just so you know.
Just so you know, that'll be a Saturday evening for your viewing pleasure. So, Emily, Clarence Thomas, Supreme Court Justice, his wife, Ginny, they seem to be coming involved in this January 6th story. Yeah. Could you summarize what's going on out there as it relates to Clarence Thomas and his wife?
Yeah, so Clarence Thomas's wife, Ginny Thomas, I mean, she's long been a Republican activist. She's long sort of been in public support of Trump and kind of suggesting that, you know, that Biden is not the legitimate president, that there was some fraud with the 2020 election. Obviously, lots of allegations out there, none that have actually proven to be accurate at this point. But what's really kind of sparked the most recent wave of news is that the January 6th committee, the group of lawmakers looking into it, released text messages between Ginny Thomas and Trump's then chief of staff, Mark Meadows, where she's really pushing him to get the president to, you know, figure out a way to sort of overturn the election. And this is a bit of a problem because Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court is getting cases about January 6th. And we're starting to see lawmakers get more involved. Yesterday, Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic caucus chair, said it was a serious issue that the House Judiciary Committee should be investigating. We've also seen Senator Elizabeth Warren and almost two dozen other Democratic lawmakers are demanding that Supreme Court, that Thomas basically recuse himself from any case involving the 2020 election dispute. We have heard the word impeachment tossed around, but at this point, there doesn't seem to be a lot of appetite for that yet.
Emily, thank you so much. Emily Wilkins in Washington there. Much to talk about as we go to Jobs Day.